Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the second book of Kings. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elijah, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elisha said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I'm taken from you." Elijah said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into the heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 50. We will read it together. The Lord, the God of gods,
has spoken.
As he called the earth from the rising of the sun
to its setting.
Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God reveals himself in glory. Our God will come and will keep silence. Before him there is a consuming flame, and round about him, a raging storm. He calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of his people. Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. Let the heavens declare the righteousness of his cause. For God himself is judge. A reading from the second letter of Paul to the church in Corinth. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is in the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free while God is marching on. Regardless of how much I was emboldened by Otis' playing of the hymn, I spared you my singing that last verse of the Battle Hymn of the Republic to you. But that's what came to my mind this time around on this last Sunday after the Epiphany. The two big words of the day are there, glory and transfigure. Three glories in the collect alone. And everything we pray or read in these propers points to the reading from Mark's gospel, the account of the transfiguration of Christ. Of course, we read that on this day before we begin 6 weeks of Lenten reflection and self-examination. Of course, we read it the Sunday before we remind ourselves of our mortality on Ash Wednesday. Of course, we read it a week ahead of the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And all of this with good reason. Carl Jung, the great psychiatrist and mystic, held that some forms of depression are preludes to transformation and growth. My own personal experience tells me that some dark periods of unidentified sadness can be invitations for me to look inward, to pray for God's help, and to open myself to healing and growth. And the cycle repeats itself, just as these readings show a magnificent transfiguration, revealed glory, preceding temptation and persecution, preceding the transformation experience as we Christians understand it, the transfiguration experience, resurrection. Certainly this year, and it has been a year of wondering and waiting and solitude, bears a collective and striking parallel to an individual's depression. We have endured, if not suffered, through this year together. Together, as I have said, ad nauseum, even while physically apart from each other. We have learned and continue to learn what is most important for us as believing people, as followers of the way of Jesus. Whatever else it is not simply what seems most desirable for us. those harsh words, as he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, is not far from the cyclical nature of life that I'm trying to describe. Christ has died that we might know, really know, that death does not hold the final word for us who believe. If you're like me, you're in no hurry to find that out by firsthand experience, but we need to live with that assurance deep in our hearts. The depth of that was too much for Jesus to explain in a tidy intellectual lecture. Speaking for myself, I would have loved that. But no sooner than I type those words do I know how very foolish they are. It's not so much a matter of whether Jesus could have concocted such a lecture. It's a matter that humans couldn't take it in, even if it were presented to us. So, the Transfiguration. Even as we read Mark's description of the experience, we know we're missing something in translation. Not the translation from Aramaic to Greek to Latin to English. The translation from heady understanding to heartfelt, deeply held experience of the Spirit. It's as if the church has us gird our loins for this season of Lent. Y'all remember the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop. It's not unlike what Jesus himself repeatedly tells his disciples. But that's not quite it either. It's not just hang on because good things are coming. It's not girding our loins, bracing ourselves for the harsh stories in Lent building to the events of Holy Week. Whatever else it is, the reason for our reading about this revelation of Christ's glory, it can be for us a story about our own lives, our life together as citizens of this world that is going through an experience that affects us all, our life together as the people of Epiphany, our inner life with all its internal inhabitants, seeking growth while walking through dark times, knowing that at the end and all along the way, we are not alone, because it all happens while God is marching on alongside us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers of the people. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Andy, Kay, Jeff, and Hector, our bishops, for Michael, our priest, Jeannie, our missionary, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We pray for Brooks, Nancy, Degagare family, David, Bailey family, Sid and his family, Karen, Bonnie and Ed, Cheryl, Bobby, Marianne, women in the Hutto family, Hutto facility, and their family, John, James, Morgan, Christiane, Judy, Bob, Donna, Leslie, Molly, George, Joe, Alan, Sarah, Victoria, Carol, Patrick, Dale, Charisse, June, Caitlin, Diane, Jill, Linda, Kenyon, Jenny, Lynn, Ellie, Tyler, Merle, Carol, Miranda, Roshunda, Carolyn, Virginia, Zach, Ann, Patty, Lindsay, Glenda, Tom, Shelley, Jackie, Gail, RG, Robin, Barbara, Charles, Ed, Alice, William, Leah, Greg, Betty, Donald, Sherry, Melissa, Dallas, Cecile. And for all those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Eric, James, Trevor, Kevin, Chris, Gerard, Brian, Jonathan, Witt, all in harm's way.
I invite you all, if you have prayers to say aloud, to unmute yourselves to do that. I ask your prayers for Winifred, who broke her wrist, for Savy, who made a request on our prayer page, and others you may wish to remember at this time, aloud or silently.
Norman Snow.
Perry.
Colleen and family.
Bud Buckner.
Ann Richardson.
Jean Stratt.
June Hawks.
Julia Milburn.
Monty Schultz. Anita Smythe.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. Especially we pray in thanksgiving with Carol Harvey, Joe Lipscomb, Diane Langley, and Bruce McConus, who celebrate their birthdays this week.
Again, I invite you to unmute yourselves to pray in thanksgiving also for the birthday of John Cantu, my brother-in-law. Other thanksgivings you may wish to offer.
For Kenzie Arrington. And for Jamie Holly.
For our ability to gather
Ben
together.
Wedding of Ben and Ronnie Snow.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, especially Carolyn Smith, Kenan Zekos, Jose Luis Aguilar, Margo Espinosa, Monte Schultz, and all who have died from the coronavirus, and for their families and friends, and for all who mourn.
Again, I invite your prayer.
I pray especially for my dad, Ernest O'Brien, and my husband, Jim Hayes, who both would have celebrated birthdays this week.
For my father, who also would have celebrated a birthday in these weeks, and mother.
For my friend June Hawks, who just passed away this morning.
Oh, bless her soul. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
To put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. First, allowing a bit of silence here. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit that we may live and serve you in newness of life to the honor and glory of your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please unmute yourselves across the board here. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace to the Lord.
Peace to the Lord. God bless you.
Peace to you folks on the second screen. And now I'll give a blessing, and Otis is going to play for us. I want to commend Otis on his playing. There's just the right volume of day, enough to make me think that I'm singing really well. When the volume is lower, I can actually hear myself, and that's not such a great thing. This is all blessings are important to us. This is an important one because it's the last blessing we'll hear for 6 weeks. After this, during Lent, what we say instead is a solemn prayer at the end of the liturgy, as the prayer book allows. So here we are at the end of this Epiphany season. May Christ, I'm going to start over again after I do a little something here. May Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. All right. And once again, please unmute. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.